The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. She's one of the world's most influential names in fitness, listed among the AFR's Young Rich List, Forbes, and partnered with identities like Khloe Kardashian and Good American, boasting more than 15 million followers across the globe. With a family, an empire, and dumbbells in hand, Emily has made her dreams into reality, and she's here to show that you can too. This is the You Can Podcast by Emily Sky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the You Can Podcast. I'm Emily Sky, and I'm here with my good friend and manager, Sam Mangan.
Oh, like really animating it. That was live
well,
from Emily's mouth.
I started before, so I had to bring that in to make it like flow, you know?
Well, you nailed it. What are we talking today about?
Well, today, we're talking about making a living as an influencer, so you know all about that, don't you,
Sam? The fact that we've got three sentences into it and I've already messed up my words.
I messed what up are we on talking the first about? Sentence, don't worry.
What did I say? I can't even mess it up badly enough to replicate how bad it was. People can rewind and hear it again. Making a living influencer, I feel like that's all you. Like, look at you go, because you are...
Well, we're a team, Sam.
The team, the dream team, if you will. That's certainly what I like to call us. So I think what's interesting about this topic is that every man and their dog wishes they were doing this for a living. True or false?
Most people.
It really is.
Yeah.
Initially, as just a preface to everything, is it as glamorous as it seems?
Hell no. Hell to the no.
But I actually don't think people would be game to say it in school, but I really am confident that if you did like a thing in high schools and were like, what career do you want? It would be number one.
Yeah. Well, I've got a friend who actually talks at high schools and that is what people want to do.
Crazy, like, right?
They're asked, what do you want to do when you grow up? And they want to be an influencer.
Or
an
YouTuber.
Instagram star or a YouTube star. Yeah, something like that.
Isn't it crazy?
It is crazy.
Funny that how the way the world has
maybe
changed.
We need to come up with a course.
I mean, there's so many courses though, right? That's a problem. Yeah. But the problem is as well, it's like, I mean, we'll get into this, but there's not like a step-by-step process.
No.
But you know, speaking of courses, it's funny really. Everyone who's written a course, you notice that they're never an influencer.
No.
They're always some no-hoper.
I don't know how they know how to do it if they've never done it.
They don't. That's
it's kind of like, you know, anything that you study, you go to uni and you're learning like the fundamentals, foundation of something, but then you've got to go and have experience to actually really know
100%.
How to do it.
But the foundations here are just sign up, instagram.com/sign up.
Yeah.
Anywho, obviously I thought today we could have a sort of a discussion about this from, I guess, our two different perspectives. Obviously I have an agency. We work with a lot of brands slash we have our own brand, but I'm usually the one that's contacting other people to work for it. And you are, of course, the influencer themselves. So you experience people reaching out, offering you toothbrushes in exchange for...
Yeah.
Nice comments and all the love. And I experience having to tell them no thank you. So let's have a chat, I guess, as we sort of get started about sponsored content, because that's probably the most, I think, in-your-face content on Instagram these days, right? Like influencers who are holding up the teeth whitening products and the protein balls and, you know, all that stuff. They're being paid to promote that content.
It's almost to the point where you'd actually – you think that everything's sponsored, because if someone's got, they're wearing a t-shirt or something, you know, you're 100%. Thinking, is this a sponsored post?
Well, that's funny, isn't it? So like, I mean, legally speaking, for those who are listening, I have a law degree, so I always somewhat skew to the law. But when you think about the law in this space, right, in Australia, for example, we don't have a law per se. We have guidelines and regulations about using hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored. But, you know, in America, there's actual laws about it. You must disclose. But do you feel like having this disclosure point now where you're putting hashtag ad, do you think that's taking away from that? Like, do you trust someone less? Like, do you think for your audience, if you were to post, and you don't do this content, but if you were to post something with a hashtag ad, do you think they would ignore it more?
I think so. Yeah, I think it screams, hey, this is I've been paid for this, so don't, you know, don't bother with it.
But do you think that's you can combine it with... Like, obviously, your brand
is
very
is the
authentic.
Way to do it. Yeah.
And so, you know, you could make, speaking as your manager, you could make millions of dollars a year more than you do purely by accepting.
What are we doing? Bring the
toothbrush.
Pack it
up. You know, you turn a lot of stuff away purely because you have no interest in posting. And that's because it's not genuinely you. But aside from that, you know, how much when you're making that decision, how much is it about what's true to you and how much is it about what you think your audience would, you know, get stale off and they want to move on?
It's definitely both. I always like to be real with my audience and be genuine. So I never want to post anything that's not something that I love or believe in. So for me, I think it is part – I couldn't personally do it because I'm just not that person. There's nothing wrong with doing it because there's people out there that do, but for me, I couldn't do a lot of it. It would have to be something that, as I said, I really do believe in. So I've had, you know, different brands send me stuff before and there's never anything attached to it. I never have to post or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if I genuinely like it, I really love a brand or what they're doing, then I usually will.
Yeah, of course.
Something in my story or something just because I genuinely like it. And I want to share that with people.
Yeah, totally. And do you think when you're talking sponsored content, you know, obviously you have a very large following now. If you were to rewind to the earlier days, like if you were getting started now, obviously it'd be, you know, it's so difficult.
Do it.
Yeah, that's it, right? But if you were getting started now and, you know, you were just growing your following, how would you, you know, you didn't obviously have the, you know, your fit program and the huge success that you have. But how would you approach sponsored content? You know, if you've got a smaller following, you're just getting started and people contacting you and saying, I mean, in a lot of situations, if you've got a much smaller following, just the free product alone, it, you know, is a great thing.
Yeah.
But it's something we turn down a lot. But
yeah. And if you have to work out too where you sort of stand and what you're able to get according to the following that you've got and the engagement and everything like that. So if you are just starting out, you're smaller, you've got a few thousand followers, then I'd definitely be contacting some of the brands that you genuinely love and tell them how much you love them and even show them if you've got their products already and then say that you'd be happy to post for them or work out, you know, a deal from there. But yep. It's like trade for prints back in the day when I used to do modelling.
Yep.
You'd do a lot of trade for prints, so you'd get like you'd model for free but you'd get prints in return or a CD of photos and stuff like that. So it's kind of like that. And then as you grow, then you can look at, am I able to charge now? But of course, you've got to look at your audience and whether they are engaged too, and that's not dropping the more sort of those sorts of posts that you do, because that does happen a lot. It's quite common.
Yeah.
If you don't do it properly and you've got to put a lot of thought into it, you've got to plan it out, you've got to make it authentic, not just throw up a photo with hashtag ad and say, love this.
Of course, yeah.
I think most of us have probably seen your little rants doing things like that.
We're not a fan of those people. But tell me, you know, if you are starting out and you've got a few thousand followers and you're growing your following, you know, when should you start to look at sponsored content? You know, even if it's someone who's providing you free goods.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a mistake to do that too early?
Too early, yeah. That's what I was going to say. You've got to make sure that you are getting a good following and you've been consistent with posting good quality content that people want to see and that they're getting involved in and they're engaging and interacting with the different posts. So you never want to just start a page and get 100 followers and go, bam, you know, of here's course. A sponsored thing and then everyone goes,
when
I don't
does
want
that change?
This. I think it's going to be different for everyone because everyone's going to grow at different rates. They're going to get different engagement on their posts.
It's also going to depend on your niche, right, as well. Like if you're – and people will laugh at this, but it is a real thing. Like if you're a – you know, a Smurfs dedication account, you're never going to grow to 100,000 followers then start charging. Like, you know what I mean? If you amassed 15,000 followers in that niche, that, you know, that could be huge for that community.
Yeah.
But if you're a more general influencer, you know, fitness, health, beauty, you know, all these things, do you think is it like 10,000 followers, do you think? Where do you think that falls?
I would personally, I'd probably wait till about 10,000. That's just sort of where I think.
Which also coincidentally is when you can begin doing swipe ups on Instagram.
Yeah, well, it makes sense and you know that you're going to get the most out of it, especially for the brands and if you want to keep working with them and then hopefully one day be charging for the content. But you definitely want to make sure that the people that follow you love what you're doing and they're going to stay there and you're also going to keep following. You're going to keep growing the following.
Growing, yeah.
So if you start noticing a drop and it will or just naturally because it's the way it is these days, but you're going to make sure that you're balancing out the content that you're doing. So you're doing a lot of good quality stuff consistently and then you can start placing in some really organic sort of ads in between that are you know, sponsored or whatever.
What if you think if you're a small influencer, things are coming along, you know, you're in that I guess you would say the 10,000 range or whatever it might be, and someone comes along and look, the most aggressive people in this space, there's no doubt about it, are the teeth whitening products and the like. Do you know, if that's not necessarily aligned to who you are, and although I wouldn't say that teeth whitening is aligned to anyone particularly, there's no teeth whitening industry of influencers, but, you know, when do you think you can accept those and not sort of, I guess, have a negative effect on your social media? You know, when you come out and say like, I love this teeth whitening brand, I think it's rare, you know, I could be wrong, but I think it's rare that people presume that that's just your normal content every day.
I personally would approach it in a way where I would build a story around it. So if I know that that post is coming, I've agreed to do this post, then I would create a story that sort of works into the post so it does seem natural and it makes sense to people. So it's not like all of a sudden you're doing teeth whitening and you're like, hey, look at my smile, and they know you're in the dentist last week getting it professionally done. So
of course. But do you think, though, that when someone's doing that, do you think that they need to, you know, if they do come along, is it, oh, it's just a brand, at least other brands will see that these brands are approaching me, so I'll post it? Or do you think it's, no, that's, you're better off to say, no, that's not right for me, I'm going to wait for the right brand?
I would personally, it's, and this is a personal thing, wait for the right brand. I wouldn't want to just, you know, do anything and everything, because you will very quickly you destroy your brand that you've, you know,
that you're trying
to build. Yeah. Agreed. What do you reckon about it?
I mean, it's a hard one.
From an agency perspective too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one really, isn't it? I mean, we all, you know, my agency, we all have clients that we have to support, you know what I mean? Yeah. So we all have clients and we go out to influencers and we have sometimes products that, are they the most fitting to it, the lifestyle of the influencer we're talking to? Maybe not. And I think that it's a testament to certain influencers when they can make it, like you were saying, work within their narrative. Yeah. But it ultimately comes down to the connection you have with your audience. If it's strong enough and they understand that, one, this is how you make your living, and I do think that there's something to be said about those influencers who are transparent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're not pretending that money grows on trees, you know what I mean? That the money is coming from these types of partnerships. Mm-hmm. But they are only presenting products they love, because, you know, in my head, for your fans, for example, when you say, like, this is what I'm loving, I think you've got such a good connection with your audience and you've been so authentic over the years that I think it's clear for your audience that what you're presenting, whilst it may be endorsed or it may have in some correlation been, you know, a paid promotion, not directly because we don't do that, but if that is present, they still believe that you are genuinely using it.
Yeah.
And I think that comes across in a lot of ways. I mean, you know, when we've done apparel and sportswear partnerships in the past, you know, or even like a Good American. Yeah, sure, there's a commercial agreement there for you to wear Good American. It isn't just you picking it up off the shelf like the average person. But at the same time, it's truly in your narrative. You know what I mean? Like, you and I were at Nordstrom in LA and literally sought the jeans out to try them because you heard such good things. So I think that it's the most important to have that connection with your audience, because even when you've got to provide content to pay the bills that may not necessarily be core to whatever you're doing, you can still have your audience trust and believe that regardless of that, you're still delivering content that sort of sits right with you, because it's what you're using day to day. Because like, as funny as it is, we all wake up and I hope we do. We all wake up and brush our teeth.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still using Colgate or whatever the hell I'm using. You know what I mean? Like, you're still using a product. But I think if you turn around tomorrow and did a paid promotion for Colgate, everyone would be like, oh my God, really? But it's ironic because it's like, I genuinely use I don't know any other names of teeth whitening.
Yeah,
toothpaste, Sensodyne, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, whatever you're using, I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But I think, again, it comes down to the narrative that you're building around what you're doing.
Yeah. Like, if I was going to start using a toothpaste that was a whitening toothpaste or something like that, I would have built that in and be saying to people, like, I do a Q&A or something like that, and usually people ask, have you, you know, your teeth real or whatever.
Yeah.
I have two fake ones because I broke them when I was a kid, but the rest are real. And I talk about, I've been thinking about getting veneers, which, as you know, I've been considering getting all of them done, but I don't want that overly fake look. Anyway, deviating a little bit, I would talk about it. So I would get online, which I've done, and I'd say, look, I'm considering this. What do you think? And then you do a yes or no and sort of build it in so it makes sense. And then you say, hey, before I do that, I'm trying this toothpaste, blah, blah, blah. You know, you could sort of build it in so it does make sense.
100%. And I think that comes down to just, again, an appreciation of your audience.
Yeah.
But
and be honest. You can say, hey, Colgate or Sensodyne, whoever, knocking over my water.
Throwing stuff around.
They've reached out to me and they've seen my post and, you know, I'm thinking of getting veneers and they're saying, hey, give our toothpaste a try.
Yeah.
There you go. Because,
like, really, that is, let's be honest.
Everyone knows it.
This is, well, they do. And this is the next frontier in influencer marketing. Because we're slowly going to move towards more regulation. The law isn't going backwards. Australia will have laws eventually.
Yeah.
The US will tighten their laws. The UK's law, you know, everyone's laws will speed up. And at that point, when you have to acknowledge everything being sponsored ad, where, I mean, at the moment it's being debated, and I think in the US the laws do say this, but even if you receive a free product, you still have to say that's a sponsored post.
Because you're receiving something, yeah.
Because it's free. Whereas in Australia, there's a bit, I mean, it's not a law, but there's a bit more latitude. Basically, there's a test in Australia and somewhat a test in the US where if they don't, the brand doesn't have any control over what you're saying, it isn't considered sponsored. Mm-hmm. And that's a very, people are probably listening to this who have like super legal experience going like, you've simplified that too far. But at a very top line level, that's the rough guide. And so, which is, you know, I personally, right, if someone reaches out to you and says like, we've seen you use red lights all the time, we've developed a red light product, can we send it to you? And then we say, look, as we always say to everyone, more than happy for you to send it. We will guarantee she'll receive it, but we there's no guarantee of any coverage, blah, blah, blah. And we pass it along and then, you know, that product features on your channels or whatever. I personally don't feel like that should carry a sponsored tagline.
No.
Because I don't think that's – I think people's perception of what sponsored means is rather crass. Yep. They think it's you've been given cash to post this.
That's
and
right.
I think it has a – you know, whereas you didn't have to post it.
And they might not trust you as much or –
Exactly.
It, they will think it's not authentic.
Well, it kind of destroys – and I guess this is part of why I'm pro it, but it kind of destroys my industry to an extent in, say, PR because – it makes it impossible because, for example, if you had to say sponsored every time anything you ever posted was just given to you for free, then, you know, sponsored may appear more and more in your feed and then people might be thinking she's just doing paid posts constantly, even though you're not at all. It's just that – and for you, you like to support, you know, friends or local businesses or whatever it might be, but all of a sudden you have to put sponsored on everything.
Yeah, and it is hard because I often think that and I want to, you know, help out local businesses in particular and I always think, oh, but if I do that, my – I don't want my following to think that I'm being paid for this and it's not
legit. Come to this cafe or to this.
Not genuine.
Because this day and age, and we see it all the time, especially in my business, like so many influencers will reach out to restaurants, retail, all these people being like, for something quite low cost, you know, a night out with the girl for a few drinks, for dinner, and we'll post about it. And so you think like the market is very confused because it looks like a lot of these people are being paid by local restaurants, but in fact it's just an exchange for a couple of meals.
Yeah, because they actually wanted to go there. You know, they're probably going to go and just pay for it anyway.
100%. So it's become a bit difficult. And so I was saying before, I think it's going to become the new frontier of how to present advertising to your audience in an authentic way that doesn't, I guess, affect your trust.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be an interesting one for, you know, someone like you who's obviously one of the biggest in the game. How do you – and you've built the trust. Like you could say to your audience on an Instagram story, look, I've – I mean, the perfect discussion for this is Women's Best.
Yeah.
You know, that whole partnership came about because you genuinely struggle finding a protein that you can have and
vegan
not bludge.
Yeah.
And obviously it has to be vegan because of the whey content, which is what you react badly to. And they reached out and said, can we send product?
Yeah.
And you tried it and then you had questions and we went to them and we had all this discussion back and forth and then they proposed, well, what if we work together? And then we sort of said, well, let's try more of the products and a partnership formed.
Yeah.
But because thankfully you talk so openly with your audience, they came along for that ride.
Yeah.
So it was kind of documented what had happened.
It wasn't just like all of a sudden I was.
Yeah. But had you have, people may have thought it was just like an off the bat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's interesting kind of. How that, I think people need to be more open maybe in those discussions, like you were saying before. Sensodyne's reached out to me, they saw my post, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that sort of opens that doorway.
Yeah. I think it's all right for the people that do understand it, but there's a lot of people on there, especially my audience, because a lot of them are older or they're, you know, parents and they're like in their 40s or whatever. And, you know, they're not really up with what actually happens 100%. In the economy of social media.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they don't get it. So they might see a post like that and they're like, oh, you know, I don't understand it. But people who do understand, they can sort of appreciate it and they respect and support people who do it because everyone's
That's the hardest thing to do, right? Like literally when we talk about the most difficult part of your job, if you call it that, you know, being an influencer, which, you know, it's a crass way to look at it, but we'll call it that for now. You know, when you've got so many people to speak to, you've got people with no money. You've got people with lots of money. You've got people with no free time. You've got people with lots of free time. You've got people who are pregnant, who have got babies, who are single, you know, and it's near impossible. And so we'll see it, for example, you'll have thousands of people ask, what protein do you use?
Yeah.
Now they ask you because you're a master trainer. You have this enormous, you know, knowledge in the fitness industry. You yourself have been through so many different fitness journeys through your lifetime. You know the answer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you tell them and then everyone's like, oh, it's sponsored.
Yeah.
Like, how do you win?
You can't win, and I think that's the point of the whole thing. Like, you just can't win, and you gotta let go of that. You can't please everyone. But the best thing you can do is stay true to yourself, do things that are, you know, genuine and that you enjoy as well. Because once you lose the passion for what you're doing, it becomes very monotonous and boring, and you just can't keep it up. So
is that a good point, though, to take you back there, what you say about it being monotonous and boring? Tell us about, like, why you were lucky to an extent because you came into the game before you knew what it was going to evolve into, right?
Yeah.
People getting in now should be aware of what a disgusting world social media can be.
Yeah.
How horrible and what an uphill battle it is, blah, blah, blah. So they have a more informed decision than you had. You know what I mean? You didn't know what you were getting yourself into because it was all emerging with you. But what does someone think about now? Like, if they're sitting in high school and they're a parent and their kid's saying to them, I want to be an Instagrammer or a YouTuber, before they laugh it off, which I imagine a lot of parents are doing right now, you know, what sort of conversation would you have with Mia if she grew up and this economy still existed and she said, Mum, I want to do what you do and be on Instagram and inspire people?
Well, I'm hoping that she'd have an understanding for it because she's seen me do it. I don't know if I'll be doing it. You know, we're talking about in hopefully at least, 15 years or something?
If we ask Declan, 50 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully I'm not doing it anymore.
What age could she have an Instagram?
Never. No, she's already got it.
Well, of course. What age would she have it turned over to her?
This is so hard because I don't know.
We need you in two booths, Deck in a booth and you in a booth and different answers.
And I think I'm easier, but I'm more, I don't want her to avoid things. I will never say you're not going on social media, you're not having computers, you're not doing this and that, because that's the world we live in and we should teach our kids how to deal with it and learn how to do it properly and be responsible with it. So I'm hoping that I will have taught her that. Of course, no one's perfect.
So 13's the age. Don't give me political garbage. 13's the age that Instagram allows it. She comes home, it's her 13th birthday, and she's like, Mum, turn over the account.
I would have to have visibility on everything.
So she's
DMs, the whole lot.
The whole lot.
Yeah.
What do you think Deck could go for 13?
No.
What age do you reckon he's coming in at? 18, I reckon.
18,
Deck's going for.
I think it's like realistically he'll,
How funny. Anywho, so, you know, parents are out there, you know, these kids are saying, I want to get into it, this is a career. You know, how does someone, because I feel like in my mind, and I don't know about you, but I think that kids go, I want to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
They don't say, I have a passion for making Lego, so I want to make a Lego YouTube channel, right? You know, I have it's the wrong way.
I think it's in reverse, and I think saying, I want to be famous on YouTube, whatever, it's like saying, I want to be famous. Well, what for? You need to have a really strong passion for something. You've got to be good at something to even connect it that with I want to become famous or whatever it is. So I don't think you should really or can really set out to grow a whatever social media platform because you want to be famous on it. Like that doesn't what do you do? Like why are people going to follow
you? Funny, right? Like because you were just saying like if you want to be famous, but because you know people who are like I want to be on TV shows or in movies, it's so fanciful that no one considers it. But because of Instagram being an app on your phone, everyone thinks they have a chance to be an influencer. Yeah.
And they do have a chance, but it's becoming less and less.
Well, you've got a chance to be in movies as well.
Exactly. Everyone's got a chance. But they need to realise that it's not all, you know, exciting and
it's not all money and travel and overseas.
It's not all chocolate chips. No, it's not all the fun, pretty stuff that looks like you're living the life.
Yeah.
Because you ask anyone, even James Charles that we know quite well, It's very hard work, and he works I've never met anyone who works as hard as he does.
Agree.
And it's
probably
very
DJ.
Difficult. Yeah. Okay. That's a lie.
Never
DJ
met
a, too.
Never met an influencer who works harder than James.
But that people see, you know, the outside of it and it looks all amazing and you're making all this money and you're wearing designer wear and you know, you got these people praising you, but they don't really focus on there's a lot of negative people there and that's really hard to deal with. And you know, someone like James has started when he was a teenager, a very young boy, and he's growing up and maturing, and he makes a small mistake that I think is small and it gets blown up and out of proportion and everyone's like, you're this, you're that.
The pressure is crazy.
It's insane. Imagine if we were teens and we were on social media, so everything that we did wrong was out there for the world to judge and amplify, blow up.
It's also just, I think it's a mental toll, but I do think, though, that that's probably an episode we'll go into about the mental toll of social media.
Definitely, you can tell I'm passionate about that.
100%. And also because you don't have the choice that maybe I do or maybe others do to just walk away from it.
Yeah.
We can't
leave
it. Well,
that's the point that you were getting at before. I started at a time where it was sort of, it grew with me.
Yes.
Whereas
you didn't know what you were walking into.
No, these days if you start, you have a pretty good idea, or you should have. You should be doing your research. But it sort of just evolved with me. So I sort of didn't know what I was getting myself into. Not to say that I don't love what I do. I'm very passionate about it. I love it. I started fitness because it changed my life, and that's why I do what I do.
You love health and fitness.
Yes.
Not Instagram.
No. I actually have a love-hate relationship with Instagram. Like, yeah. I love it because I love the people on there, and I love that I'm able to impact them positively. It's very rewarding for me, and it reminds me why I started. I hate it for a lot of reasons, the negativity, the, like, you know, the whole self-worth thing, and the numbers. I mean, they've taken away the ability to see likes in Australia on everyone's pages, but I can still see my own, so I don't know.
Same concept, right?
Exactly.
But, like, I think that's the point though, right, where you were saying, you know, when you – you get into this and, you know, you see sort of how it's going to progress.
You've
and got you
to
know
keep it going.
And even when you're talking about the way that you got into it, that's the point though, right? Like, you're passionate about health and fitness. The tool is Instagram. The tool is Facebook. The tool is Snapchat. But you're...
It's not you.
No, you're passionate about it because when people respond and say, I too have changed my life through health and fitness, it's because you're passionate about health and fitness. So if someone isn't passionate about what they're going into social media for, and I think a lot of people get into it these days, and I see this often, they get into it and this is when they really beat themselves up and they end up buying followers and blah, 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 because they think that they can start out as just people will follow me because of me.
Yeah.
And not to be the blunt police over here like I always am, but I will say no one cares about you in terms of profile-wise.
What do you do for them?
Yeah, you have to offer people something. People don't have time anymore.
And maybe people will follow for you because you're incredibly funny or witty like you are, Sam.
Thank you so much.
You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be something people need to get value.
The content has to have value. You're so right. Yeah. And that to me is the interesting part that I think a lot of people, when they are getting started, mistake the platform for the purpose. And you need to have the purpose, which you have so clearly defined. Like, if you come to your account, there's no two ways of telling you're a health and fitness person, and then they have sneak peek into your life through that journey, but you're still health and fitness. You know what I mean? Because like if you just turn up tomorrow and just started posting about fashion stuff, people would be like, what's going on here?
Yeah, they would.
It can be involved, but you know what I mean? The core is health and fitness, which is an interesting one. And I think, you know, as you start to expand your, you know, the elements of your life that people are, I guess, exposed to, that's when we start to explore, you know, sort of the larger pieces, I guess, like ambassador sort of roles. You know, when you talk about the way that, you know, you worked with brands like Good American and other athleisure brands, but not in your history, as far as I can recall, have you done like, today these leggings are 20% off on whocaresnapkin.com?
I've never done like the codes, I don't think I have. I've never done a code or anything like use code Emily. Nothing wrong with it again, but I've just never done that.
No. I think probably when we're talking about, like, we've just been discussing the idea of using a discount code, for example, in a, you know, for brands. Now, I can tell you from an agency land, I need the code, right? Because we could have 30 influencers at once who are posting out there, and we need to understand who has an effective ability to drive traffic or sales or awareness or whatever it is. And so a code is really handy there. But what, you know, what are your thoughts on having a code in there? Because it adds that commerciability immediately, right?
Yeah, well, I think if you – it's the way that you talk about it to your followers and you're giving them this deal, like this great deal, but be honest with them. Say, hey, look, I've asked them for a code and a discount or whatever so you guys can get this. And just be upfront. Don't try and hide it under something else.
Yeah.
You know, something that it's not. Just be open.
So it really – I mean, you know, the message has been rather clear from this podcast, I would imagine. The transparency is what you think is primary here for consumers and your followers to sort of understand. And I think that it's a give and take, right? Like with your followers, for example, you know, they're so generous with you at times and then they take it all, you know what I mean? But it's a give and take. You give them some, they take some, you realize you went too far or you didn't go far enough or you know, blah, blah, blah.
I just think you've really got to pack out. Like if you've got posts that you've got to do that are, when I say got to do, you've agreed to do, that you have to put a link or, you know, a sale or a discount code, whatever it is, some sort of swipe up, you need to pack it out, your stories out with other good quality content. So don't have a day where nothing's happening and then you go and put that up and that's it and then you do the next one. You've got to have
a
story.
So if you were to call that as a percentage and you're an influencer out there, you're still growing, you know, 10, 20,000 followers, whatever, and you're doing sponsored content. On a scale of 0 to 100%, how much content in your feed can be sponsored? Like, are we talking quarter?
10, I do like 10.
You do 10?
Yeah.
As low as 10%, that's interesting.
Initially,
so one
and then
in
as
ten
you grow,
posts,
10 posts.
One in 10 posts.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah.
And in terms of Instagram stories, are you referring to, you know, like, if someone's got to do a paid post or a sponsored Instagram story, you think they should be on there and posting, you know, 5, 6, 7 of their day-to-day, this is what I'm doing, then good bang, stuff. Here's the brand.
Yeah, because if you, even just from my own experience, if obviously I've got, we've got James Cosmetics together and I post about my business, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
But I'll put in, like, I'll go about my day, I'll be doing a shoot or behind the scenes or a makeup look or whatever it is, and then I'll put in the James there, so it kind of makes sense. So like I might be doing makeup, look, I'm getting ready, I'm wearing James, and then I'll say, hey, you can swipe up, or we're doing a sale or whatever, have it in there. So it does make sense, but people are getting value. They're watching a makeup tutorial, or they're watching me, you know, do a behind the scenes photo shoot. So hopefully they're getting value out of that. But I notice the difference. So I've done it before where I've been unwell, or I've had to do some sort of post with an agreement that I've got with a brand. You know, it was probably like either Women's Best or like one of the fitness brands that I worked with previously. And say if I've been sick, so I haven't been doing anything, I'm not filming myself that day, I've actually done it where I've put it up and it's like on its own with nothing else around it. And it gets probably about a quarter of the views and engagement and everything that other stuff gets if I was to go, you know, go about my day and record it all.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And so I think that as well when it's ambassadorial, for example. So you've had a few ambassador roles in your career that make sense. And I think for people when they're considering roles like that, for example, they need to appreciate, and, you know, I can say this from the management component. I find a lot of people, you might go to them and say, like, I have this, you know, we need this role, this campaign or whatever with this client. And the client could be big, big name, well-respected in the industry, whatever it is. And then people go, oh, big dollars because you're a big name. And they come back and say, we need bajillions of dollars because you must have the cash. And I think it's, I'd love to get your opinion on it because we have done partnerships in the past where this could be the case. You know, sometimes the money isn't what it's about. It's about the alignment.
Yeah, it's got to make sense. And it's tough because if you're getting offered a lot of money for something and you don't believe in it or agree with it or whatever, it is hard to turn it down because it's a lot of money. And if you ask anyone, like I think most people would probably take it if they don't have an understanding and they don't, you know, they're not already on social media, they don't understand how much it's taken to build it up and everything and how much it means. It'd be easy to just take it, you know, and walk away and do it. But for me, I've been offered things before which I haven't agreed with and it's been like a disgusting amount of money.
Yeah.
And I've like, yeah, I had the thought of it's a lot of money, but no, I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. It's not what I'm about. And I think people would see through it and I'd lose all credibility.
100%. But do you think though people out there need to be more reticent, especially as they're growing? I mean, you know, you're in a different position because you have such an enormous platform. But for other people, do you think they need to be more aware of the fact that sometimes it's not about the money you're making, it's about the alignment and how that brand will then see you position? Because I think one question a lot of influencers would have, even, you know, who have built an audience, 50, 100,000, you know, they're, how do I get more business? And they think hire a manager or hire an agent or whatever, but how do they get more brands to be interested in them? And I've often found for us that when you see a good alignment, you know, if you're working with a fashion influencer and they've worked with Chanel or Prada or something, you're like, oh, well, if they're working with them, you know what I mean? It can give you this air of, you know, value. But I think so many people these days, it's like, oh, have you got all the cash? Otherwise I'm out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I think you need to think deeper into it than that and just not be focused on the money. And I've had influencers come up and ask me how, you know, how I do what I do and how I've maintained doing this for so long, because I've been in this game for quite a long time now. So I'm like, and I'm an oldie.
An
but they ask me like, how do you do it and make a good living out of it, a good career that has longevity? And, you know, the advice that I give is don't like be a sellout, like don't do too much of the sponsored stuff. Don't align yourself with brands that you don't agree with. Be real with people, post everything about, you know, you obviously don't post everything, but the good and the bad.
If you're comfortable with
it. Yeah. And then look at it long term. So don't do anything that can jeopardize that long term.
How do you assess a brand? Like if they come to you, how do you choose if they are right for you?
How do I choose? I would ask you.
Yeah, I mean, and we collaborate, which
that's,
I think
is that's not a lie. Yeah,
no, and that's authentic. And I do think that even if you're not someone at, you know, your level that can have someone like us, even if you don't have a manager, you just need to have a sensible
group
around you.
You ask yourself, is this something that you can see yourself doing? Like, does it make sense to you? Is it something you genuinely like?
Yeah,
you know, like I've been sent things before that I really love, and it's not paid, but you know, I'll go and post it because I think people need to know about this and yep. I love it. So then that makes sense. And then it's easy and it sort of just flows. You don't have to go, oh, this is really against me. How do I build yeah. a story around this to make it seem authentic? People will see through that. And if they know you and they've been following you for a while, they'll definitely see it. It'll stand out like a sore thumb.
Do you think it's a good barometer to say that, like, if you need to sit down and it's taking too long to work out how to talk about it,
that's
it's
probably
wrong.
A no. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I feel yeah. like that's probably.
If you feel like you're getting blocks when you're trying to come up with a narrative, then don't do it.
It's because there isn't one.
No.
You're having to invent the narrative, yeah. which yeah. makes no sense. And what do you think in terms of when you're posting, you know, and you're trying to grow, how do you attract the attention of, say, someone, you know, I would say like you, but obviously you're, very, very large. But one of the best tactics, you know, we've discussed before to grow is to collab with other influencers, you yeah. know. And this, I mean, you did this back in the day, right? Before it was the thing yeah. to do, but share for share or whatever you want yeah. to call it. Like, you know, you collaborate together, you make some content, you post the other person, they post you, you yeah. both, you know, share
yeah,
your
audiences
and grow.
Yeah, we do workout videos together and both post that, tagging.
Do you think
each
that's
other.
The best method still?
I still think it's a really valuable method to sort of go about it. I think that it's organic and it makes sense, but you've got to target the right sort of people. So don't go and get someone because they've got a huge following, but then – it's nothing like what you do, like yeah. the complete opposite. You're just going to get a following, if you do get a following from it, that aren't interested in yeah. you and they're going to drop off. So find people that are very similar to you where it does make sense and you know that, you know, your followers will like them and vice versa.
Yeah, because we've had that problem before, right, where it's yeah. like, I mean, if we wanted to grow your account astronomically overnight and go from whatever we are now, 85 or 86% women
yeah.
and we wanted to make that 50%, we could double yeah. your follow, you know what I mean? If you were willing to post more racy, risque content yeah. to attract more men, we specifically avoid that.
Yeah.
Because that's not your audience.
I kind of joke about it. Again, nothing wrong with it because each their own and, you know, you do you. But
well,
it's
I mean,
not in line with me.
No,
and
not
what
at
I do
all.
And fitness and, you know, reaching women. I don't think they particularly want to see that sort of stuff.
I mean, I've said this before though, right? If you're like, if you want to have an account
yeah.
and the brands you're chasing are Beats by Dre and, you know, yeah. male dominant brands,
then it
tits
makes
and
sense.
Ass is fine.
Yeah,
fire
go
away.
For it.
If that's
yeah.
you know what I mean, like it's
you've
an
got to look
an
at what your goal
is.
Like, what's your intention here?
100%.
Yeah.
But if you grow an account on tits and ass and they get to the top and they wonder why female led yeah. brands won't work with you,
I've had people come to me and they're like, "How do you get such a large female skew? Like, how do you get such a huge female following?" And then
hard
it's hard to say to them, but they're doing like G-string leg kickbacks, yeah. like they're doing fitness stuff, but they're in a G-string on the ground doing leg kickbacks. And you're
wondering
very generous.
Why. I don't think squatting over a camera is fitness.
But you wonder why it's a huge male following. Like
watch your content.
You change your content, you know, to be more specific for females. What do they want to see?
But it
and some females do want to see it, you know, but
yeah.
the majority don't want that, you know,
don't
in your
gravitate
face,
towards
sort of,
it.
Yeah.
And we do live in a world of instant gratification now. Like, you know,
yeah.
the idea of collabing with someone and picking up 50 followers isn't enough. They want to pick up 50,000 in what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People are like, oh, I went and shot for one
it's
day with
them.
It's
not worth it.
That's
do,
what people
do
think.
Your thing. Keep putting out good content. Be yourself and it'll grow. It might be slow, but at least you're getting people that are genuinely interested in you and they're going to stick around. They're not going to jump on and then unfollow because you're not
yeah.
what they want to see.
And what about engaging with other accounts? You often say
definitely.
That's a
definitely. I was
going to
say that before. I still believe that engaging in other accounts is a good thing, but don't overdo it. So a lot of people will go and comment on every single blue tick page. So any page that's been verified has a blue tick. So usually it's celebrities or people who they've been given that verification. Who knows? Ask Instagram why they get it.
Yep.
But generally these people will go around because they're trying to gain some sort of following and they will comment on every single blue tick page because they've got a lot of followers there. And especially if you've got a blue tick, they use that as a way to go and get the, you know, get seen the most on these comments. So I don't think that's the way to go about it. You're spamming
yep.
pages and people don't like that. And I can tell you, I get it from people and I don't like that either. Because it's not genuine. The comments are just there because they're trying to get the following. But be specific with who you go and comment on and be genuine with your comments. So for me, Khloe Kardashian might post something with her daughter and I go, oh, I relate to that because I do that with Mia.
Yeah.
So I'll post something nice to her and usually she'll respond to me because she's lovely like that. She's the most down to earth person ever. But that's when that can also be a good thing for you because you're targeting people that you genuinely like, they're similar to you, and then people may see that and they might jump over and follow you as well. But
of course, yeah.
Also, so it's two things. People might see it and come and follow you, but also you're engaging in people that are you know, they're big in their field or they're doing something that you might want to be doing. Yeah, and you're also showing that support, which I love, and they love it too if they can see it's genuine, not just the love heart or whatever.
100% simple love heart.
Yeah.
And do you think that, I mean, a lot of influencers now and a lot of people are trying to start businesses off the back of their own Instagram. You know, they are, rather than turning to sponsored content, you know, look at you. Obviously, you have James Cosmetics, which is, you know, a cosmetic brand that we've started together. And how do you think that your audience sort of takes that? Do you feel like if you post sponsored content versus James Cosmetic content, do you think they respond differently?
Yes. I think because I own the business and I started it because I'm passionate about it and I love it. Obviously, I love it because it's my business.
Yeah.
Then they are more likely to go over and, you know, swipe or take an interest or go and buy the product or whatever, rather than something that appears to be sponsored. So I always make an effort to say, because there's a lot of people that don't realize it, but I say it's my company.
Yeah.
And I think they go, oh, it's your company. Just to remind people, yeah. And then I get messages come through going, I didn't realize it was yours. I know that's awesome. I'll have to try it. So I think it does make a difference. However, people need to understand that if they've built a good following on social media and then they want to turn that into a business or make a business from it, realize that you are going to get less engagement. It just happens as soon as you start a business, as soon as you're posting things with links and things like that, it will decrease your reach and engagement. So don't think that because you've got, say, I'll say 100,000 followers, that they're all going to buy your program or your business thing or whatever it is that you're doing. They're not all going to buy. Because I get it all the time. People reach out and they're like, with your following, you could do this much. And I'm like, really, you think 50% of my audience is going to buy?
Well, it's all the pyramids though, right, that reach out and go, if you got just point, it's the Excel maths I can't stand. If you got 0.1% of your audience do the following, then you would equal, and then we multiply that by this, and all of a sudden you're a trillionaire. And it's like, if someone could do that, do you not think they would have already done it? You know what I mean?
Yes. From an agency point of view, what are some mistakes that you think influencers make when working with brands?
Look, it's, you know, this list is literally the longest thing ever. I could literally, there's not enough parchment in all the land. They make a lot of mistakes. Yeah. And I think that, you know, and some of them don't make any, you know what I mean? But the biggest mistakes that I often sort of see is, I guess, people being present for the wrong reason. You know, they're working with you for the money or they're working with you for, you know, it's usually the money, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But they just come in, it's that, and they leave. You know what I mean? And there's no thought process to it and there's no consideration for an outcome.
Yeah.
And so rather than going, what am I trying to do here? And then, you know, and some agencies do it and I often find that they're the wrong, you know, shield, I guess, the smoke shield for the influencer, but they'll send you a briefing document and the briefing document will say, like, what is the purpose of this campaign? Awareness or sales or whatever. But if the influencer truly understood, like, we're trying to sell this or we're trying to grow our followers or we're trying to increase awareness for...
Yeah.
I think that then if they have a real mind, if they're a true if you're a true professional in this space, like we were talking about before, you'll go away and really think, how can I do that?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the same, I could ask you the same question, what mistake do companies make when they work with people like you? It's telling you what to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm
don't
very
put
free.
Words in people's mouth because it won't come across well. People will just, you know, keep swiping or whatever.
100%. And even as close as you and I are, and, you know, we own James together, and blah, blah, blah. Even in that situation, I will only say, here is the product, tell you the key benefits or whatever that I think are, and the end.
Yeah.
At no point will I say to you, you should do this or you should do that. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, and I do think that if the brand, which is it's always when we work with influencers through my agency or with James, we never dictate what they have to do.
No.
We'll tell them what we think has worked in the past for us. Yeah. So we've had influencers who've done X, Y, and Z. Yeah,
what to do.
Because I think influencers like to have that you know, that context. But then, you know, when they don't actually go away and try and do so, you can tell the ones, and we've seen them, we've worked with them, and they just go like, here's the product, here it is, swipe up, and it's like,
there's
that
no
was horrible.
Put into it.
And it's, you know, or they use 18 filters on the story
like
and you can't see.
The flowers around their head and halo.
And you see nothing and you have no idea what the product is and it's not clear. And And I also think as well what a huge mistake, the biggest mistake I would say, is poor relationship building.
Yeah.
I think that too many influencers are stuck online and forget that the most important person in this industry, and I'm biased because it's me, but the most important person in this industry is the agency owner, the agency manager that
how
you're
are you
dealing
making a
with.
Living?
Literally, because we control dozens of businesses rather than just one.
And you know so many people. So if they do something that's dodgy or they're lying about their numbers or whatever,
100%. It's comes back.
Out. And it's terrible. And especially if you find out.
Oh, I can tell you. It's real bad.
Not but good. Don't
I think
lie.
It's really just, you know, I'm often baffled, you know, like we'll work with influencers and we'll pay them sometimes for this because this client's got a budget, this one doesn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. For me, and you know, I'll use this phrase, it all kind of comes out in the wash.
Yeah, it does.
You know, like sometimes you'll get paid for some stuff. Sometimes it'll be like, come to our event. It's just a beautiful event. You get a beautiful lunch. And, you know, for me, like when an influencer turns up to an event, for example, and then posts nothing and leaves, and you think, like, you weren't required to post. We didn't tell you how to post, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but you were not coming to the next one.
Yeah, that's it. You're off the list.
Yeah.
But it is disappointing because you think to yourself, like, you know, like we're always good to you with this or with that. Yeah. When this comes around,
and
you're
it's
now
good
not
content for them anyway, so 100%. I don't know why they wouldn't.
It's just an interesting one. But that to me, the relationship building aspect is something that is sorely missing in this market. One, because of management and agencies. And I think that there's this, I don't know what the word is, but there's this sort of divisiveness that's built up now where talent managers are like, you can't speak to my client, you can't speak to the talent in any way, shape, and form. Because I guess there's this lack of trust at times between the talent and the management.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, well, you couldn't possibly be in the same room as them alone. I have to be present for everything, blah, blah, blah.
They think they're going to steal the client.
Yeah, or they think like, oh, you'll go around me. I won't get my percentage or I won't get this or I won't get that. And I think to myself, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I understand that with 99% of people we work with, we have to work with management of some description unless they're worthless. But we will 99% of the time. But in that situation, it still doesn't affect the influencer going and DMing the brand or DMing the manager or whatever and saying, like, thanks so much for that.
If you're good at what you do, there'll be no need for any of that.
No need. Exactly right. They're not going to go around
you.
You should
be worrying about it.
100%.
Yeah.
So I just think that relationship component, and I think the relationship component is the exact same when it comes to small influencers because these days, you know, for example, look at James Cosmetics. Micro-influencers have good impact, but regardless of whether or not you've got the impact or not, we all need good content.
Yeah.
We're all posting on Instagram every day or twice a day or whatever we're doing. So there's no reason that someone with a smaller following can't do the right thing. And we have, I could tell you this, quite a few that have come to us and they have had a small following and we have worked with them and they're now at a bigger following and not work with us as in management like you and I.
They've posted something.
You know, they've come to an event and then they've gone away and they've done the right thing and they've sent us content to use. And then when an opportunity comes up where it doesn't require the big followings, you pick that person.
Yeah.
And that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's that relationship that has led some of these people to become far more successful.
And it's also the other way around if you treat influencers, even the small ones. Don't just think because they don't have a huge following and that you just ignore. It's like when you don't know who the person is and you find out they're a billionaire or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that. But one day they might be someone.
Oh, 100%.
And I've even experienced myself back when I, you know, didn't do anything.
100%.
I was just trying to do modeling and people have treated me terribly and done the wrong thing by me, like even agencies. And then when I built a following and started, you know, getting out there more, they come back and they're wanting stuff now. But I remember them treating me badly and I will not do anything with them. I don't care what I could get from it.
It's just
the way I am. You treated me terribly and I won't work with you. So it can be the other way around as well. And the influencer will remember you if you're a good client or you're a good agency or whatever, you've done the right thing by them.
Totally.
When they're big, they still remember you. So
And they all do. You know what I mean? Like 100%.
They all do. Yeah, 100% do.
No, if that makes sense. I feel like we've gone over a very broad piece here about making life as an influencer and what that sort of looks like. I think to, you know, summarize some of it, it's hard.
Yeah, it is really hard. It takes a lot of time and especially putting the effort in to make something, I guess, authentic but also appealing to people and that it grabs attention. It's like any sort of post. You want the post that you're posting to try and build your following. You want your ad post to be the same sort of quality. Otherwise, what are you doing?
100%. Yeah. And I think as much as I say it's hard, it's also rather rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, you see so many people who post and they sort of do that like, you have no idea how difficult it is.
Yeah.
Scrubbing toilets for a living is hard.
Yeah.
That's
reality
truly
check.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So in the context of reality, it's a great job to have, but it is a difficult one.
I don't like it when people, they think that it is glamorous and they can achieve it easily. I want people to realize that it does take hard work and you can enjoy the hard work if you look at it in a, you know, that sort of way.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that you're going to achieve something and you've got a goal in mind, but don't think it's going to happen straight away, or if it doesn't happen straight away that you just give up. It really, it's a lot of persistence.
But that's why you pick a passion, right? Because then it's not, you don't feel like every day you're banging your head against the wall.
Your passion is overriding the bad stuff.
Yeah.
And how long
it takes.
And
if it works, great. If it doesn't, you were still doing what you love.
Yeah. Because it took me years, like I did years and years working towards this. Even before Instagram was around, there was still work put in that sort of built me up to a point so I could start the Instagram and gain momentum on that as well.
Crazy talk, isn't it?
Crazy. Well, we could go on forever about it.
Couldn't we?
Well, I'm sure we'll take another selfie episode. For my yeah, go on take more content.
Well, that's another episode of the You Can podcast. Thank you for listening in, and make sure that you are hitting that subscribe button, because we love a subscriber, don't we, Emily? We love a subscriber. And if you've got any feedback, please make sure you're leaving comments for us at the Instagram at You Can by Emily Sky on Instagram. So you can leave us a comment there about content you like, content you're disliking. Sure. Yeah. Well, you know, so
any
we can change it up.
Any ideas that you have?
Yeah, DM us as well.
Yeah.
And obviously you can also hit Emily up on her Instagram at EmilySkyFit if you feel the need to take a break from the health and fitness world. Come over to my page at _ Sir Megan.
I was going to say, any negativity, send it to Sam.
That's
like,
it.
We're you can handle yang. It. I can too, but you handle it better.
And yeah, we'll see you on the next episode.
And don't forget, you can do anything.
So true.
You can.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to the You Can podcast with me, Emily Sky. This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, and I'll be so grateful if you could rate and review my podcast. To stay up to date with me, follow me on Instagram at You Can by Emily Sky, and join our closed Facebook group so we can chat. Just search You Can by Emily Sky.